So,
episode 10 is tingling.
What is this, Spidey?
Spidey.
Episode 10 is tingling. Brian Kyle are padding for time.
Oh, I hit the goddamn theme song.
Yep. I want to see your list of best spider sense sound effects.
Yeah.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior! Anyway, so welcome to Zero Issues.
Should we do some news?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Current Zero News Flash.
All right, welcome to Merc Awkward News.
Mockward. It's Mock.
I'm Mock. Nobody's going to get that reference. If you get that reference, I'll give you a cookie.
So, just so you know, if anyone gets that reference listening,
yep,
let Merc know. He will give you a cookie.
No prize to cookie.
Yeah. Yep. We'll send it in the mail. You shouldn't need it.
In the news, Marvel and DC are doing epic event reboot makeover retools. Who really cares? That's over.
Time to see.
The rest is non-Marvel and DC news. This actually doesn't even have to do with comics, but I was going to say kind of does, but it actually doesn't.
I saw a neat bird the other day.
RZA from Wu-Tang Clan is producing Black Samurai as a movie, starring Common as Black Samurai. It's based on a 1974 novel by Mark Olden, which I just think is kind of cool. I originally just saw it, and I was like, that's, I don't know, just fun. The character is Robert Sand, who becomes Black Samurai. He's like a military guy that gets stuck in Japan, but then gets trained to be a samurai. Like your typical kind of
story.
So it's like The Last Samurai.
Yeah.
Except. Not as bad.
Yeah. But Robert Sand, they said, quoted as, Robert Sand is like a black Jason Bourne.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I totally would watch that. Texas-based Hastings Entertainment has declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Basically, they sell movies, music, games, books, pop culture. At first, it was like, okay, they're having problems. They had their Wednesday come around for new comic book day, and they had a sign up saying, sorry, we don't have any new comic books at all. So, as a sorry, we're like, everything, although the older comics are 50% off, and trades are 50% off sort of thing. And they said, well, apparently they owe...
That's a big story.
Yeah, apparently they owe Diamond Distribution some money. But at the time that I read that, it said, really not that much. But now it's come out that they actually owe them $1.5 million.
Good lord.
And then there's the company Funko, which creates like a lot of the vinyl figures.
Yeah. Yeah,
which they're into like the pop culture-y kind of vinyl figure stuff, whatever, toys and shit. They owe them $2.5 million. So yeah, big trouble in the.
It's a good thing all those Funko Pops appreciate in value.
Just teased. No real information yet, but there's been a teased bit about Betty and Veronica fashion line through the New York designer Rachel Atanoff. How that'll go over, I don't know. I don't know if, like, it's a full on fashion line.
High-waisted pants. For blondes. And cocktail dresses for brunettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yep.
And if you're a ginger, go to hell.
I feel like it was a couple years ago or something, they had like Archie makeup lines and stuff like that through some...
Did they?
Yeah, like some high-end...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Mac or something. Yeah, yeah.
Interesting, but you know what? Maybe Archie just focus on getting your comics out on time.
Yeah.
Maybe one step at a time. Maybe
one specific comic.
Yeah.
Maybe
the one comic that Merc reads.
Two.
Oh, Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Yeah,
yeah. The other one. Yeah. Like that every 4 months. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway. Afterlife with Archie every 2 years.
Yeah. It's a biannual event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Heroic Girls Reading Program. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's actually pretty
interesting.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we were talking about it before.
Oh.
That's true, we did, actually, so technically I lied.
The idea is it's like a program to encourage younger readers to like get into comics, just to, for the sake of just getting into reading overall, but it's basically the idea that You're trying to encourage specifically young girls, but also young boys, to read comics, then write a short review that goes online, and you're basically, quote, they're trying to build a database that you and your fellow heroic girls and women can consult when they are looking for something to read in the future. So it's basically creating a database of just like, this is what this is. This is what this is. If you're looking for something like this, you might like this. Yeah. You know, yeah, yeah. Kind of. And I think that's a really cool idea. That's
fantastic.
But like, and that's hard to do, is to create that and just to say, you know, read this and then create an online review. So they're creating incentives. Basically, every you get to win prizes. So every
it's like a summer reading program.
It's a summer. It absolutely is a summer reading.
That's awesome.
You do 6 reviews by September 1st, and you get put in for prizes like autographed books, posters, original art, tons of stuff. I'm like, can I be a young girl?
Yeah, I would. Can you give me the URL and stuff?
I do not have it, but if you look up Heroic Girls Reading Program, that'll lead you right to it.
All right, I got a kid who
totally, yeah,
oh, fantastic.
Maybe could be right on that.
Awesome, that is a great program.
That's totally good.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good idea. And that's the news.
Welcome to the warm up.
All right, on to the warm up, and today, in honor of our theme for the most of the episode.
I don't think we've even said.
We haven't.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We don't just be sneaky about it. When people get these, they know.
Yeah, it's in the title. So we're talking about Spider-Man. We're talking all about Spider-Man. So what I have here is an objective worst to best Spider-Man theme list.
That you say it's objective. That reminds me of a BuzzFeed article that I saw the other day that was naming, you know, Canadian snack foods best or worst, an objective list. And ketchup chips were like in the middle.
Fuck off. That's the best one.
How is this objective?
That's me not being
an idiot. Okay, all right.
It's obviously not objective.
All right.
And I'm being, how they say,
I'm like, do you just not know the words you are speaking?
No, I absolutely know them. It's absolutely completely subjective. And this is my list. And if you disagree with it, you are wrong. But that's fine.
Yep.
Starting with, and this is a 14-1. These are all television themes, so we don't have the movie themes in here. There might be some stuff missing. There are some covers in the mix. We should.
Go.
So starting with the worst one.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
My reason for this song being the worst one, it is the most generic 70s cartoon.
It is very generic.
80s. It's generic 80s cartoon theme song
so
I've ever
jumped,
heard.
A decade.
Oh, that's fine.
Whenever, that's good.
That's fine.
So you're going to judge it? Whatever.
It's gotten personal here. This is your childhood.
It's totally
this is
my childhood.
Not my childhood.
This is what I grew up on.
Man. And absolutely, and I'm not disputing it. I've seen my share of this show. The theme song is just generic. It could be any cartoon. If it didn't tell Spider-Man, then you would not know it was a Spider-Man show.
No, but it's the visuals that went along with it. Like when you connect.
Oh, I'm talking about the music alone.
Oh
my friend.
Yeah. Oh, I know. But it's you cannot dismiss one with the other. It's,
I suppose so.
They go hand in hand.
Guess what? You're going to hate the second worst.
Spider-Man!
Why do you rank that one higher than the last one? It's a little more something.
There's a little more.
It's got a little more of a funkier tune to it. For me, at least listening to it, this has more of an impact, even though, again, it's just like Spider-Man and a generic tune. Yeah, this sticks in my head a lot more than Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. The tune does not stick in my head.
We walk down the aisle, so.
Well, I'm sorry that I should have
married to my
What's the next good one? What's gooder?
What's gooder? Let's find out.
This is the Spider-Man song that you could fuck to.
That's the Batman Superman.
Well, or Batman, I was gonna say, it was like the Batman Beyond. It's like a shitty Batman Beyond cover, basically, is what it is. It's like, oh, do you like the Batman Beyond theme? Well, you should, because it's pretty good. Do you want a bad version? Here you go.
Do you know who did a lot of the work on that? Mr. Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook, yes, the intro sequence. Yeah, he did the art. He did a lot of the art and the animation and stuff. And then this, you know, comes out afterwards, and it's, you know, aping that, and the animation's terrible, and the show is terrible, and the song's terrible. So, not good. Not good at all.
Okay, you know what? We all just started bopping.
That's true.
That's got to be number two or three.
Listen,
really,
it's
that
not,
jump
it's
right
not
up.
Bad. However, it sounds like pretty much any cop show in the 70s.
And it's fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
Those Spider-Mans are called of a wall. I was wrong about what Spider-Man song I like to make love to.
That funky beat.
Watch me flip.
Swingers.
This might be controversial, but I have a reason, but here it is.
Vegas, Tony.
This is the CGI animated show from 2003, like just after the Spider-Man movie hit, with Neil Patrick Harris as Peter Parker, Lisa Loeb as Mary Jane, and Ian Ziering, or the hell.
Ian Ziering.
I
didn't watch 90210.
Yeah.
Isn't it Nicole McPherson?
I was too busy playing with action figures.
Yeah. I didn't know which part of his name to pronounce ridiculously. I had a problem with that. Anyway, he has Harry Osborn, a blonde Harry Osborn.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
This should be at the bottom of the list.
It's the most generic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. However, the only reason it's this high is because I was listening to the themes and with Sherry, my wife, and she said, this is like DDR music. And then I got the image in my head of Spider-Man doing DDR, like aggressively doing DDR, and that shot it right up.
He's going against Batman, who is the best at DDR because he trained for hours.
So that's the only reason it's this high. This is an objective list.
I'm still mad that
Amazing Friends is so low. Just, you know what? We're like a third through this list. Let's rock
so
and
far,
roll.
There's a big pile of shit above it, so.
You're going to find out.
And I'm going to call it as it is.
So, Aerosmith's cover of the 60s Spider-Man theme song from the first Spider-Man movie soundtrack. I'm not counting scores, I'm counting, like, you know, if there's, like, a variation of a theme song. Moxie Fruvis did one, too, but we're not counting that for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that guy.
Good call.
I never heard that.
We're not going to hear it, and I don't recommend anyone does.
That was number 15. Yeah.
Didn't make the list.
Okay, so we obviously know that the traditional 60s Spider-Man theme is going to be fairly high.
Yeah.
Somewhat. But yeah.
It's great.
And there is several variations we all know.
There have been several covers.
I have never heard
that. This is an official one.
I have never heard that.
Yes.
Aerosmith.
One, I don't like Aerosmith. The only Aerosmith song I can actually stand is Dream On, because he doesn't sing like that in that song. And,
Dream On!
Oh, that part. Yeah, there's that part. Yeah, he's not as bad, though. He's not, like, he had... I just don't like Aerosmith. And also that, like, creepy sex pant he does at that point is deeply unsettling.
It arouses you too.
In a Spider-Man theme song, it's fucked. I hate it.
It was a boringly generic. I've got nothing to say about it.
Fair enough. Moving to number 8. That That is the theme from Ultimate Spider-Man. I don't think it really has an intro sequence. I think it did just give you a little bit of it. But this is, like, the full theme.
That's why I did not...
You guys seem to dig that a little more than
that.
I did.
I
found
it
a little plain. Like, you know, it has a bit of, like, the Spider-Man...
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
Any PlayStation Mega Man game.
Oh, okay.
Like, I guess, like, a Mega Man X game.
Sure.
Like,
but obviously, you're going to be influenced by which cartoon you liked better.
Not exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not
like
a bad theme.
Much, dude.
It's not... terrible. I just found like
Arachnid Kid.
Oh, is that they call Miles?
Yeah, that's what they have to call Miles because he comes into the mainstream universe. It's like, well, we can't call you Spider-Man.
Why not?
Okay.
Not a bad song. Really not bad at all. Just something about the melody isn't memorable to me as much as other ones.
That's kind of that do-do-do-do.
Like, it evokes the 60s theme a bit, and it just, I don't know, it doesn't quite work well for me, but that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, this list is objective, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I want to do this when we do a Batman episode.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Okay.
There was nothing good about that.
No, I know.
Nothing good.
I know, I'm terrible. However, it's like a techno reggae version of a Spider-Man theme song, and I'm just like, that actually happened.
A Bruce Campbell tutorial could not have saved that theme song.
Okay, maybe in hindsight I should have put that a little lower. I don't know. Not
that
good.
That was like, press button to start drums.
Yeah.
Do that, and then, yeah, that was...
In hindsight, and that's by Apollo 440 is the band, is the PS1... PS1 theme song. In hindsight, I was incorrect on that one. That should have been lower. I admit that my objective list is wrong. Moving on to number 6.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out.
So that was Michael Bublé's version from Spider-Man 2 soundtrack. Apparently he recorded that himself years prior and it got included on the soundtrack, making it official.
I don't like Michael Bublé.
I'm not a
but
fan either.
If I was really drunk, I might like it.
Corn properly. This guy's a real weirdo.
However, that is smooth and, you know what, enjoyable. Very enjoyable. I would say that's...
If I was really drunk, I might like it, and I kind of like it.
Yeah. If I was driving in a car, I would play that really loud until I got to a red light, and then I would roll my windows up and turn it down.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. We're moving on to number 5.
Getting close.
So yeah, that is the 90s Spider-Man theme song.
By?
Joe Perry of Aerosmith.
Of Aerosmith.
So Aerosmith's on the list twice, and this is definitely the highest one.
Which makes it the second time Aerosmith has been mentioned on the show.
That's sad that they've
Which
been mentioned twice.
It's catchy, but I have to say, Spider-Man.
It's definitely like, I've been smoking my whole life. Yeah. I like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. He saved me once, he's Spider-Man. He made me stop buying cigarettes.
There's a lot of nostalgia in play on that one,
yeah,
but you know what
totally,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's catchy enough. You know what I mean? It sticks in my head more than the Ultimate Spider-Man
theme.
It makes
you remember
that
he has radioactive spider blood.
He does.
Radioactive spider blood.
That's true. All right.
It also makes you remember...
Yeah. Moving on to number 4. So that was the Japanese Spider-Man theme. I think it's catchy. He also has a giant robot, and that's pretty cool.
And then giant robot showed up in Spider-Verse.
It's true. Hey, yeah! Come on. That was actually my,
Really? I find that unmemorable.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I find it memorable.
Hey.
That was my,
Hey!
And then Outkast stole that years later.
Really? That was actually, my alarm to wake up in the morning. for like a year, and Cherry got very mad at me every time. But I like it, so objectively it's number four. Moving on.
Top three.
Number three, top three.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man.
Obviously, the 60s Spider-Man theme song.
That is classically classic. Fucking fantastic.
You know that was recorded in Toronto?
Was it?
Yes, by the singers, like the musicians were CBC singers and musicians.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. And apparently, they did not get royalties for that song, which is real sad.
Yeah.
It is real sad.
But, you know, Canadian Connection. Yeah, yeah. And of course, all-time classic. It's
so catchy and it's so great. And I love that starting bit. Like, the rest of the song is great when the singing starts. But the ba-ba-ba-ba, that alone.
I think, like, right after that, the drums.
Oh, for sure.
It's that, let's throw in a little bit of cool, weird jazz, and then something else over top.
Let's just make it cool, man.
It's only number three. Again, this list is objective.
Okay.
It's objective.
Right. What's
moving
two and
on
one?
To number two.
So that was spectacular. Spider-Man.
Yes, and you know what I mean? Like, first it's sort of like, oh, is that better? That is a catchy song. That'll get in your head. It is very catchy.
It's
the band
who
did it is called The Tenderbox. I don't really know too much about them, but it gets in my head, and I've always really enjoyed that theme song.
I like the drums.
Yeah.
I like the drums.
Yeah.
That, just the thing.
That, that sounds like something else to me, and it's like right on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
It's another song that it sounds very similar to. As Richard Fry would say, they're musical cousins.
Yeah.
And I can't place what it sounds like.
And I'm very curious about number one.
Oh, I think I know what's number one.
Number one.
It's the Mario theme song.
It's Batman.
Let's do it. So yeah, number one had to be a version of this song.
Oh yeah,
and
that is the best version.
That's the thing, like, again, the 60s is an all-time classic. It's great, but it's the Ramones.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not just that it's the Ramones, it's that the Ramones did a great version of it.
Oh, for sure.
It wasn't...
Weirdly enough, I know they're doing, like, the Ramones version of it, it just feels more timeless in a way. Like, I feel like, again, like, why isn't this version of the song, like, the theme song to this whatever Spider-Man cartoon is running? It should be.
That would be funny.
It doesn't matter what one it is, always. It's great.
Like, don't, like, for whatever movie you put out, don't get... Fucking Green Day or Blink or whatever. Good Charlotte.
Spider-Man Back Homecoming. Spider-Man Homecoming. End credits.
This.
They perfected it. Again.
Or at the start. Be ballsy and use it right at the start.
That'd be cool.
Or have it in the middle of the movie where they're like...
Yeah.
He overhears it and is like, what is that?
Oh my God, or a shot-for-shot recreation of the theme song. He fights Scorpion for 1 second.
That would be great. That the weird kind of swinging where he doesn't really move, his whole body's stiff.
I desperately want to see that. Anyway, I think we can all agree this is objectively the best Spider-Man theme song of all time.
Okay, that I do agree. The rest I don't.
That's fair. You know. It's fine, because the list is objective, that's fine. I do apologize for that reggae techno one. That should have been much lower.
Yeah. Life is a great big battle. Whenever there's a handle, you'll find Spider-Man. What the f***?
So we're talking about the Amazing Spider-Man.
It's a total Spidey episode. I didn't even know where to go with this. I
Faith
really
fun. True believers.
That was like Trying to Sean Connery?
Yeah, it's the
face front, true believers.
Sit down, you're making me nervous.
S-P-I-D-E-R, man. Some things don't react well to webs.
Get bit by radioactive spiders.
But our stars just curtains in the... Oh, I totally forgot.
Anyway, we're talking about friggin' Spider-Man.
Friggin' Spider-Man!
Friggin', he doesn't curse. So why should we?
Friggin' PETA!
My gosh darn toe! I stubbed my gosh darn toe, I'm Spider-Man.
Like, I had like I had a bunch of questions. Like, who's your favorite Spidey artist? Their favorite Spidey writer? Your favorite costume? What's your favorite costume?
Joe Mann.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know, I really like some John Romita Jr. stuff.
John Romita Jr., yeah, he worked
until
well.
He got, like, way too blocky.
Yeah.
Like, not everyone needs to look like Hammerhead looks.
But yeah. Like, it was, like, in the 80s and stuff, it seemed like he... Well, when he initially was drawing, it seemed like he could feel his father's influence a lot, and he got further and further away from it. Well,
that's when he was with the X-Men and stuff, he had that same sort of thing.
Like, also, he drew, like, Amazing Spider-Man in the late 80s.
Yeah. Well, there's that whole era. Yeah. What's your favorite costume?
Oh, man. Classic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like classic with the black instead of blue.
Oh, that is
and
good.
And you give me those armpit webs.
I do like the armpit webs. Yeah. I do like the armpit webs.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it started. Like, Ditko style had the armpit webs. And, like, it was dark. It was black, right? With highlights, and it became blue over time. The smaller, creepy eyes.
I'm not a fan of the smaller, creepy eyes. I like the big expression.
I love the big, baggy eyes, too.
And that's why I love,
like,
the new movie ones.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, he can actually do that thing. Oh, I'm surprised.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I have to say I'm a big fan of the black suit.
Yeah.
That is such a simple, classic, beautiful costume. It totally says it to me.
I don't think I can pick a favorite artist. Like,
well,
there's so many good ones.
Yeah.
It was brief. Like, I loved Mike Waringo drawing Spidey.
Yeah.
He was really... I love the energy he brought to it. I mean, like, I like everything. I love everything he's drawn. Flash, Impulse, like, everything. But, and he was a... You know, he was fantastic, and I just liked his specific look for Spider-Man. I wouldn't say he's my favorite artist necessarily, but he always jumps to mind for some reason. He had a few runs on Spidey.
Zach, I liked his
stuff. Yeah.
Craven, that whole...
It's interesting that nobody said Todd McFarlane.
Yeah.
You know what? I would actually put him.
A
lot of people shit on him, but
I like Spidey. I don't like the way that he drew his webs.
The spaghetti webs.
I'm not a fan.
I think it's interesting.
I like the way he drew Spidey, though.
Yeah.
Not like faces.
You know what? There's certain parts of McFarlane that I hate and certain parts that I like.
Yeah.
I like that he changed it. Nobody had really challenged it and changed it to that point in quite a while. Where it was like he's a fucking spider and he became much more agile and bendable. And I'm like, that's great. Like, that changed. Like, it wasn't just it was like the 60s cartoon where grab the Tarzan thing and just swing.
Right.
And just jump. And, like, that's what they've been doing for quite a while. And it was like, oh, he brings his legs up that are higher than his head and he's upside down and he's flipping. And, like, that was great.
I liked, he should be kind of skinny, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, he should you have him, like, being a buff dude. He should be he's Spider-Man. He should be, like, kind of skinny and creepy looking, crawling around a little bit. You know what I mean?
He should be like a Bruce Lee ripped and but skinny.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. He has, like, lean arms and legs and stuff. And John Romita Jr. has a habit. He's, like, one of the all-time kind of probably definitive Spider-Man artists.
Yeah.
With his father, as he should be. But he had that run with J. Michael Straczynski writing, and it's kind of controversial, I guess, but he actually, you know, he had the habit of drawing Spider-Man as, like, a big, burly fridge man for many years, and then he, like, got him real skinny
for that
specific run, and you have him, like, crawling
hot
up walls. Yeah, hot fridge man,
He's a hot fridge man!
Out on the
hot fridge can!
Yeah. Oh my god.
Right.
Hot fridge man. Does whatever a hot fridge can. Keeps your crop nice and hot. Keeps it cold? It does not.
Hot fridge man.
This is episode 3 of the Hot Fridge Saga.
Love it.
Do you ever shut up? Sorry, no. My fans expect a certain amount of quippage in every battle.
Anytime, like, any artist who sort of gets that, where he's, like, he's not supposed to be a big buff dude, he's a skinny kind of guy. Mark Bagley was one of my favorites in the 90s. Like, he was... That's when I, like, started reading... Well, it wasn't when I started reading, but it was, like, during much of the 90s on Amazing Spider-Man, and just the way he drew Spidey in particular, and, like, you know, the big eyes, and, like, the leanness and stuff like that. Yeah. I feel like he sort of, like, I don't know, something in that, in my mind, that's definitive to me to this day.
Okay. I was never a Mark Bagley fan.
Yeah, not everybody likes it, and...
It was decent, like, and I read the stories and they were good, but I don't know, it just didn't grab me. There was something, he's got a certain style that just...
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it's not for everybody, but it's just, it was, you know, at least formatively kind of definitive, at least for me.
Yeah.
But, you know.
There have been a number of bad Spider-Man imitators over the years.
Sure.
Because, you know, this has been a character since, what, 1963?
Yeah, 62, I think, 62, technically.
Okay. Not quite as old as Groot, but I guess that's okay. Whatever.
eventually, like, he'll get the he'll get to Groot level.
But, like, Speedball, some would argue 90s Superboy.
Speedball? Okay.
Really?
Like, these guys who are nobodies who get a superpower.
Yeah.
And that's the story. And, like,
that's a pretty broad...
There's bad versions. There's good versions.
Speedball had the Ditko connection.
Well, that's true.
But... Yeah, Ms. Marvel would... That makes a lot of sense.
She would be a...
Ms. Marvel?
Yeah.
Current Ms. Marvel.
Kamala Khan?
What do you think about it? She's,
Well, but that's pretty broad. A young person who has powers.
Who started that, though? It was Spider-Man. A relatable character.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, some lantern-jawed...
It's a young person with flaws.
Oh, I'm John White.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a young person with flaws and you know, like, certain family issues and a complicated life.
Kind of like Jesus.
Kind of like Jesus.
Yeah.
Kind of like Joshua.
God, I love Spider-Jesus. Spider-Jesus is my favorite.
The Jesus with...
Oh, so we're talking about the other.
Oh, God, we'll get to that.
No, we won't.
Or we won't. Let's ignore things that are terrible. But it's sort of an archetype. At the time, Spider-Man was, as we all know, like, game-changing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one, it was like the first teenage superhero who wasn't a sidekick. It was, you know...
And it was a realistic portrayal. Well, semi-realistic portrayal of... Like, oh, how do I do this? And it's not just, I have superpowers now, and I can do anything, and that's fine.
Like, he had as many interpersonal struggles as, you know, superhero struggles.
He had girl problems and homework and...
Exactly. And even just in his own mind, he had struggles. Like, he would just, like, be so stressed out by his life that he would just have
the whole, Uncle Ben.
He would have little fits and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, he had issues.
He had little fits.
He would!
Epileptic like fits.
There were parts where he was just so mad.
Bite down on spider wallet.
Well, it's true. Like, they had...
not swallow
there
spider
There
were
some
tongue.
Early comics where he would, like, be punching a wall or something just because he was so frustrated by all the things in his life that he had no control over.
And the thought bubble would say, I wish I was dead.
It's one of those things. Like, I mean, like, Clark Kent doesn't stress out about... how his life is deeply unfair and he can't ever get ahead, right? I mean, that's something that's very relatable. We've all been in that situation, and Spider-Man's kind of the innovator on that. And I mean, the impact in comics, superheroes as a whole...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's
I get that. Yeah,
defined
totally.
It for every single one past
would
him.
Would you say you're a little bit of a Superboy expert? You're definitely a Superboy fan. Yeah, would you say that he fits the bill?
A bit, yeah. Not completely personality-wise, necessarily. Again, like, he's in a weird situation where he is a clone, which, you know, but...
We won't get into
what
that.
About Spider-Boy?
Spider-Boy, exactly. When they combine characters, they combine Superboy and Ben Reilly into Spider-Boy. It's the ultimate clone
superhero. At the time, though, Ben Reilly was the original, right?
Yeah.
As far as we all knew, that was the status quo. Never going to change until
the Superboy felt like he was sort of like a send up of it because he was like kind of like not being responsible necessarily. He was like pursuing his fame and stuff like that. That was a big part of the early Superboy comics.
Okay,
they knew exactly what they were doing because they knew it was a similar kind of archetype, I guess, to Spider-Man. So they sort of turn it on its head a bit.
Right.
But at the same time, ultimately, yes, he You know what I mean? Like, it was sort of like, oh, he's pursuing fame like Spider-Man did, but it made it more of an extended thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a similarity there. I think, like, any teenage superhero without Spider-Man, forget it. Right? Like, he's the innovator.
Yeah. I don't want to discount that, but it's
a bit of a reaction to it.
Yeah.
Even if it's going a completely different way, it's going a completely different way.
I would disagree. Not that he was the instigator, and that's it, but you can't compare everything that comes out. It's like, well, the Shadow came out, then the Batman is part of the Shadow. Every other character that comes out like that, that's a darker thing, is the Shadow. You'd get that. Yeah, I know. Well, but that's what I mean. Like, but every other...
That's a bad example.
It's an evolution.
It's an evolution, and then it's you get into the broader sense. If it's a very specific, you're obviously taking off that. But if it's a younger, like, that's pretty broad.
Yeah.
A young superhero that's dealing with normal stuff. That's incredibly broad.
Oh, it's incredibly broad. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The thing is that it wasn't really.
No, I get it. I totally get it. That he was the instigator, but then it's. Can you do that Spider-Man kind of character?
Yeah.
No, it's let's do a young character. Okay.
Yeah.
What's biting them?
We get to a certain point where it progresses beyond
that. Doug, constantly.
Okay, so, what? I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
What's biting them? Doug, constantly.
Doug?
Doug.
It's just a guy named Doug biting him constantly.
Do it, Doug.
That's their major problem.
I heard it and I thought, is that a Bri joke? That doesn't sound like a Bri joke.
Here we are.
What'd you do? I saved you. With science.
Okay, going back into... All three of us have a big history with Spider-Man. And just...
I would say.
Look, we dated for a couple months.
Yeah, well...
We were married, but then fucking Mephisto...
That happened. Not necessarily the best story, but what's your favorite kind of... I don't want to say your favorite memory of it, but like that, just that kind of thing or something that you click into. It doesn't have to be the best story. It could be your favorite story, but it doesn't have to be like just... It could be a shitty story that you fucking love.
May I...
Cool.
Yes.
Okay. Ben Reilly, who, as far as we all knew, was Spider-Man at the time.
Love him.
Runs into Matt Murdock.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, it's the same heartbeat. Cut to Spider-Man eating Matt Murdock's leftover food, stuck to a wall. Like, so, I thought I was the clone, but it turns out, I'm not, Peter was the clone. But he's just, like, hanging out with Daredevil.
Just eating his food. And just...
Of course, he's got the mask half up.
And yeah.
That is the best Marvel Legends that's come out in a long time. Like, that Spider-Man one where he's
got... Oh, he had the mouth up mask.
Yeah, it comes with a variant, like, mouth up and a slice of pizza.
Oh, man. I still regret not buying that. I don't have it. I have the Scarlet Spider one, though. I definitely have that.
But that's Spider-Man to me.
Yeah.
He's doing his best.
Falling short a whole bunch, doing his best. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty good. I like that. I had read a lot of stuff. My first comic, I think it was a Secret Wars comic with Spider-Man in the black costume.
Yeah.
Spider-Man was the thing I got into. I just sort of dove in when he was like married to Mary Jane in the 90s. Again, as an actual child at the time, I had no problems relating to him as a character, even though he was married to Mary Jane.
Oh, we're gonna get into that. Yeah.
No problems! Yeah. Everything was fine. Anyway, but they also was publishing Spider-Man Classics, and they were full-color reprints of the Stan Lee, Steve Ditko comics.
Yeah.
And I think one of the first ones I got, there was also like Marvel Tales or something, like classics, and they like were reprinting stories from the 80s. So around the same time I was reading current Spider-Man comics, I happened to pick up like the first Mysterio issue in a Spider-Man classics, where it was like, I hope I'm not confusing this with like a retelling of it or something, where he was sort of like framing him or something like that, and nobody trusted Spider-Man, and everyone like thought Mysterio was a big hero, and Spider-Man
that's Mysterio's shtick, like,
basically, yeah, like Mysterio showed up to be a big hero, and like Spider-Man's the villain, and of course Jameson buys into it immediately. And he has to, like, basically everyone's against him, and he has to, like, prove he's not a dick. And, you know, anyone in, like, maybe kind of nerdy in public school can probably relate a little bit to that, where you're just, like, constantly struggling every day just to not be the outcast. You know what I mean? That's the primal initial thing about Spider-Man, is that he's, like, distrusted, hated. People, like, you know, don't understand him. He's just doing his best. He's trying to get there, but he struggles every step of the way. And that issue kind of struck a chord there for sure. I think it made me understand who that character was, and that's why I've kind of glommed on so much in my entire life.
Yeah.
What about you?
Marvel team-up. I loved those issues of just, like, these weird team-ups of whoever and whoever.
Let's put
and
the Thing and the Punisher together. Well, yeah. That would be fun.
Well, but a lot of it was, for the majority of it, it was Spider-Man and somebody else for the majority of Marvel team-up. And
so Spider-Man and Generation X.
When I was younger,
Gambit, Howard the Duck.
There was no Gambit.
Sorry.
I just had, like, random issues in my house.
Yeah.
And one of the ones I had was one part of a two-parter, which you always have, and you don't have the other part.
That's how childhood
for works. 20 years, you have no idea how the episode actually, the story ends.
It was
Spider-Man teaming up with Yellowjacket and Wasp, battling this character called, this villain called Equinox, which was, he was like half Iceman, half Fireman. Human Torch, half Human Torch.
Ice and fire.
But he was like this unstable guy who was like a kid, and the mother was there too, and the mother was like, I'm just trying to save my son, but the kid was just totally, like, it wasn't a kid, it looked like a full grown man, and he actually, like, defeated pretty much all of them, and it was basically Wasp is like, I'm gonna kill you, because you just killed Yellowjacket and Spider-Man sort of thing. And it was like, that was the cliffhanger. And for years, I never saw the next issue.
Your big exposure.
I would just read.
Spider-Man died?
Yeah, I just read that issue.
Also, but Yellowjacket, I guess.
But you know what, at the same time, I loved Yellowjacket. I don't know why. I totally glommed onto the design of that costume.
We shit on him a lot.
We shit on him a lot. Everybody shits on, but it's because of that later development of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love the design of that costume. I don't know why.
You know, it's a good costume.
Fucking love it. Like, I was never a big fan of Ant-Man, really. It was like, I'm riding an ant. Like, we fly. I have to, like, but, you know, but Wasp, she can fly. But no, I have to find the flying ant, and then I can fly. But no, it's like Yellowjacket could actually just fly.
What is your problem with Antony?
I don't know. But I'll be honest, I don't know who drew that issue, but it was just, that was the quintessential late 70s look of Spider-Man. Like you were saying, he's not big.
No.
But he's got some muscle because he's
Spider-Man. He swings around.
He swings around. I'm sure he's got a good workout. But at the same time, he's not, like, overly built. That 80s, 90s huge bulky thing hadn't happened yet. And it was just, I don't know. It was that combined with, like, fucking Electric Company telling you how to, like, Spider-Man can tell you how to read, and then, you know, like, and all this stuff kind of combining. And it was
Spider-Man just shows up in your window and says, read!
Spider-Man was super accessible and fun, and it was, this is like late 70s, early 80s for me, so it was like a totally, I don't know, he had this weird kind of thing. Spider-Man was its own thing at that point.
Oh, yeah.
That it had not happened since.
And again, he'd become such, and especially, like, I remember, like, first picking up comics in, like, late 80s and stuff like that. It was just, like, Spider-Man everywhere. You flip through it, if there was an ad for stuff, Spider-Man. If you had, like, a person, like, you know, you pick up the direct market one without the barcode, Spider-Man's face. Spider-Man everywhere.
You know what? This is the point when I realized what that thing is there for.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Direct market? Yeah.
I had no idea.
A little face there instead of a barcode.
Huh.
Yep.
And then sometimes it would have Cap's face.
Yeah,
largely.
Or the Hulk.
But mostly Spidey. Mostly Spidey.
Totally, yeah.
Mostly Spidey.
But yeah, later on, there was, like, the whole Hobgoblin thing. The gang war. The Battling the Rose. And there was all, like, there was a huge arc that I suddenly started continuing collecting. And that's, I just totally.
Yeah, that was the other one, right? It was part of the Hobgoblin. We had Hobgoblin and the Rose. Basically teamed up. And, Great comics. It was like Roger Stern, I think, was...
Was it? Yeah, sure.
I'm going to float something here.
Okay.
Float
your boat.
We could probably come back to Spider-Man again. because this episode's getting a little long.
Well, yeah, we need to come back to it, because I have like a ton of things that I
can get into. We could get into it next week.
That's a good idea.
Really?
We could.
Let's do Spider-Man Part 2.
Spider-Man 2. The good Spider-Man
video game. We won't do Spider-Man 3, because it'll just be us dancing and it'll be horrible.
But can we do that?
Yeah.
I think we should.
Good idea.
Yes.
More Spidey. More Spidey all the time.
Moment of Zero. Moment of Zero.
So, this is going to be good for next week when we do part two of our giant-sized Spider-Man thing.
Giant-sized man thing. No, sorry. Yeah. Spider thing.
Say hello to our giant-sized man thing!
So I thought a fun thing would be to do a little Zero Issues drinking game.
Oh.
So, for next week, when you're listening to part two of our Spider-Man Megasode, you can have a drink whenever somebody mentions Bill Finger. whenever someone mentions Ninja Turtles.
Yo.
Whenever Merc sings. Whenever Kyle sings. Whenever anyone mentions Todd.
you're already wasted.
Yeah. Shots on Todd. Yeah. Well, Todd shots.
I want to make sure that they are able to, you gotta keep hydrated.
Yeah.
It's important.
Todd shots forever.
That's a t-shirt right
there. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Todd shots.
Whenever we don't know what we're talking about and trail off as we end a segment.
the end of every segment.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do our best to cleverly edit around it.
Mm-hmm. Whenever Merc asks Bri where his issue of Iron Fist is, or his trades.
No, they don't even trade. It's the issues. It's the whole
thing. Well, you can drink now.
It's a healthy stack. Yeah. It's a healthy stack.
Immortal Iron Fist.
Just don't kill me, it's fine.
Whenever a news segment is ended with news you can use. whenever there is a euphemism.
Yeah.
Specifically a euphemism for a penis. Whenever Merc goes into a Skeletor.
You boob!
Whenever we reference that we are recording. And separate but different, whenever somebody says audio format.
That does happen.
Yeah.
That's a lot of drinking.
There's more.
Oh, Jesus.
There's a couple more. Whenever somebody says dope as fuck, which is now being replaced with dope as Frasier. whenever somebody swears.
Yes.
Like, let's specifically go with when somebody says fuck, because I feel like we say that the most.
Yeah.
Fudging a lot.
Yeah. And finally, I'm my wife.
When you say I'm my wife, you gotta chug the whole thing.
Yeah. Does it mean I have to do it? Because it's always me talking about Sherry.
Who?
Yeah.
My wife. Oh no! My glass is empty, so whatever.
Yeah, so try that out. If you don't like being alive.
Yeah, really.
If you did that, that would be dope as fuck. What do you think about that, Todd? Well, I don't know what you
think. Drink, you boob!
Dope as Frasier! Who the hell are we? I'm Bri. My name is Bri Kotick. You can look at my stuff at welcometohereafter.com. It's a comic about what happens after God loses his job. I need to learn how to market myself more. I'm trying! I'm also on BRY.
Stop touching me!
Yeah. BRYKOTYK on the social medias. You can find me. I'm there.
I am Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM. You can find galleries and pictures and things, and Zygote Bob comic strip is on there. The full run of it, which it is now ended. So the whole thing is there. Or you can go to the store and you can find t-shirts and original graphic novels or cards or things. Yeah, that's all I got. Or Merc on Facebook. Follow me there. I'm pretty active on there.
And I'm Kyle Lees. To find me, you can go to Google, type in kylelees.com. That's not going to bring up any results, but you'll probably find me.
I was all excited, like, oh, new website.
Type lmcpherson.com. That won't bring me up,
no.
But it'll bring up something.
You'll enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Clear a couple of hours.
Anyways, I'm still plugging. No, if you want to put in at the Kyle Lees, the Kyle Lees, except no substitutes.
Oh.
They're gross substitutes. Clones. Ugh. I hate clones.
Six-armed clones.
I like some clones.
For real. I said it last week, but I really mean it this week. The store's going to be up.
Yay!
It'll happen!
I'm looking forward to it.
We are Zero Issues.
We are Zero Issues.
Thanks for listening.
We are Groot.
We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on all sorts of places. If you look up Zero Issues Comic Podcast or just Zero Issues, you will find us on iTunes if you would give us a good rating.
Don't even, you know what? Don't even worry about that. Just tell a friend.
Tell a friend. That's good too.
Hey, listen to this dumb thing.
Also, Ocean City Defender, super great.
Thanks.
You know what? You know what else is great? You're great. See you next week.
Radioactive spider blood. I can't smoke anymore. Cause I have radioactive spider blood.
I'm just gonna keep recording.
God damn it.